Now turn in your Bibles, book of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. This morning, being the last day of 2017 and the beginning of a brand new year tomorrow, I wanted today to bring a message that will tie in with the New Year's. In fact, I want today to preach on the subject, with God being my helper, on the thought, our greatest need for a new year. Our greatest need for a new year. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." But again, notice now, the first part of the verse, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for such a precious passage of Scripture, Lord, that we can think about this morning, that we can prayerfully consider and see the application that can be made today to our lives as we stand on the brink of another year. Now, God, I pray today that you'd speak to hearts and give us a good service. And Lord, help us today to respond in a way that we need to the Word of God. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, years come and go, and it just seems like the older you get, they come and go quicker. People change, fads change, culture changes, and life in general changes with the passing of time. Time is quickly fleeting. Here we are looking at 2018. Hard to believe. For some reason, it just seems like the older you get, the quicker years go by, though. I don't know why it is, but at least it just seems that way. You know, while years come and go and changes occur, there's one thing about us humans that never change. We enter every new year with the same yearnings, regardless of who we are, where we come from, or what our background might be. We all have a major thing in common. We basically build every New Year's pursuit around one thing that we have in common. The one single most important yearning in life is security. The word security says it all. Security. You see, that's our main quest for 2018. Security. Now think about it. We want physical security. We want better health. So therefore, we build a whole lot around that. We want better health. We plan on eating better. We plan on exercising more. Why? Because we want physical security. We want financial security. We build our lives around that. Many people might be planning a new career, job change, something to do with finances. People would like to pay a bill off. Security in the area of finance. We want national security. We worry about the possibility of war. We see storm clouds brewing again as we think of what could happen in North Korea. We desire social security. We care about relationships being stable, marriages, friendships, and so forth. We have a quest for security. We especially desire spiritual security. Where will I go when I die? What is my relationship with the Lord? Many people go into a new year planning to read more of their Bible in a new year, planning to be more faithful to church, planning to start tithing, let's say, planning to pray more, planning to witness more, planning to do more for God. Security, security, security. Another year has come and gone, and a new year arrives. A Again, we think of past failures and new resolutions. We witnessed many changes in 2017. Would you agree with that? Some of the changes are good and some of the changes are not so good. Last year witnessed many changes. We look back at 2017 and we find ourselves discouraged over goals that were not fulfilled. What did we do wrong? What caused the failure? What was the cause of that failure? I believe probably the greatest cause of failure could be focus. And I would like to explain that, focus. We anticipate a brand new year, yet repeatedly we place the emphasis upon ourselves and how we plan to change. We focus upon our own ability. We focus upon what we think we can do. We focus upon our own plans. I read in that text, and so did you, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That's a good text for New Year, isn't it? We consider the security of our health, and for some, we have to admit, the diet didn't work, the exercise didn't last, the discipline didn't hold up, and some of us even lost ground in 2017. 2017 was a trying year for many people. Changes of the year took a toll on many of us. We got older. We got weaker. We faced obstacles which caused fear. Our physical bodies changed. In fact, you talking about change. Do you realize that when it comes to our physical bodies, because of the atoms that make up our bodies, because of the cells that make up our bodies, I'm probably correct in saying that we are new people from what we were last year because the cells have all died and changed and new cells have begun to make up our bodies. You talking about change. This past year witnessed major changes. When we talk about the yearning for security, what about the truth of this great verse? The yearning for security. Where is our focus today? When it comes to security, can we truly say that I'll be secure because I will do this, or I will do that, or I will, you know, do the things myself with my energy, with my ability, with my strength? What about this? I am the Lord, and I change not. You see, we fail because we focus upon change. We focus upon things that change rather than the one who is unchanging. We put our attention upon things that will change. But what we need to do as we face 2018 is to put our eyes upon the one who never changes. The one who is permanent. The one who stays the same. You see, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We fail in our New Year's resolutions because we build them around ourselves instead of around God. Why did we suffer defeat and wallow in depression in 2017? Well, it could be because we depended on a changing self instead of a changeless God. A changing self instead of a changeless God. I am the Lord, and I change not. I want to give you this morning three simple points concerning this changeless God. And I believe as we face 2018, if our focus and if our eyes are upon the Lord, then I guarantee you we'll have a better year. What about this changeless God? Number one. Number one. God changes not in His person. I'm talking about who He is. He changes not in His person. He remains everlastingly the same. There are no furrows in His eternal brow. No age has ever weakened Him. Because He's a great I Am. He's a great unchangeable. I love it when I read the Old Testament passage of Scripture when God appeared to Moses. He appeared as the I Am, not as the I Was, but the I Am. God is unchanging. God is perfect. He must be the same, for change would imply imperfection. Now think about that for just a moment. God has to be perfect. He is, because He's God. But the fact that He's unchanging proves that. I illustrate it this way. We all are in the process of changing. We do something, we look at it later on, it doesn't look right now, so we change it. We make an effort at something, we do the best we can, but later on we find out we didn't do it quite right, so we want to redo it. We build houses. Later on, we find out we need another room, perhaps. Need a new roof. Something needs to be changed. Why? Because of imperfection. You see, changes imply imperfection. But God is unchanging. God doesn't have to be any more loving because He's already loving. God's character will never change. He's the same. The eternal, changeless God. God is unchanging in His person. When Jesus was born, that was not when He became God. He's already God. He's always been God. There's always been God the Son. That was simply His incarnation. That was when God and man were joined together. But He didn't become less God, and He never was less man. He's truly 100% God. He's truly 100% man. He was the same God when He was a babe in a manger as He was when He stretched out the curtains of heaven, and He's the same God who hung on the cross. He changes not in His attributes. He is as powerful today as He was when He spoke the world out of the womb of non-existence. He is as wise today as He laid the foundations of the universe. He is unchanging in His wisdom. God is unchanging in His justice. He is just as holy today as He was yesterday. He is eternally holy. He is as holy today as He was in the past. He is unchanging in His attributes. He's unchanging in His truth that He's promised. His goodness and love remain the same. He is still Almighty God, and He's never been an almighty tyrant like some people have tried to assume. You know, in the Marine Corps, semper fidelis, or semper fi, means something. It means always faithful, always loyal. That's the motto of the United States Marine Corps. Shortened to say, we say Semper Fi. Always faithful. Always loyal. Now, let's think about God for just a moment. You see, the attribute of God, we can say this. We can say Semper Idem. Idem. That means always the same. Marine Corps says always faithful. But for God, we can say Semper Idem. That means always the same. God is changeless in His person. In His person. You know, a problem that we have, a great problem, more of a problem than we realize, is the fact that we are fickle. We change all the time. People change. Attitudes change. Someone who's your friend today may not be your friend tomorrow. Relationships get destroyed. I mean, look around you today. Those people sitting around you today, we would like to hope and assume that everybody is our friend. But by the grace of God, tomorrow that person sitting beside you could be your enemy. Relationships can go sour because we change. We build a whole lot of what we do and how we act around emotions. We're selfish. All of us are. We're self-centered. We don't like to admit it, but the best place I know to admit it is where we are right now in church. But we change. People change. I'm thinking of a young man right now. This young man years ago, I'm not going to mention his name. You would know him anyway. But this young man became just like a son to Carol and me. This young man was a member of a former church. This young man used to be a good friend of our son. He'd come to our house. He'd just come walking right on in. He'd say, "Hey, what's to eat?" He'd even open the refrigerator. He just practically lived at our house. Him and I would hunt together. We'd fish together. And he was just like a son. Well, there came an incident later on in life to where I had to talk with him about something, and what I had to say to him, I said it in love, and I spoke it in love, and I was firm about something concerning a conviction, a decision that was framing why I did what I did in his situation as far as my reaction to him, and he took that wrong. And now for 20, 30 years, I never hear anything from him. The relationship has totally changed. I'm making a point this morning. People change. But thank God, God doesn't. God stays the same. If he loved you yesterday, he loves you today. His attitudes do not change. I am the Lord. I change not. He's changeless in his person. Secondly, he's changeless in his plans. In his plans. Our plans change. We start something, we don't finish it. We start something, we plan something, but many times we don't see it through. Sometimes when we see it through, it doesn't turn out right. I wouldn't begin to try to attempt to build a house with these hands. I can't hardly sometimes, it seems like, even put a light bulb in right. People have different abilities. But sometimes our plans change. You see, but planning is a part of who we are. You see, we're built around the concept of planning because God designed us that way. What about the verse that says, "Let everything be done decently and in order"? You know, the orderliness is a DNA element in human beings. The thing of planning, the thing of organization, that's a part of who we are as human beings. But yet our plans at their best many times are flawed and many times have issues. But God changes not in his plans. Has it ever been said that God ever began to build and didn't finish? Can it ever be said that God ever started something and God never finished it? You know where I'm going with this point, don't you? "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I believe the same God that started out on us in terms of justification is going to one day pull everything together in glorification. The same God that saved us spiritually is going to one day save us bodily when we get a glorified body. God is a mastermind. He arranges everything in his gigantic intellect long before it even occurred, and he settles everything that he starts. He never alters his plan. He's changeless in his plans. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, "I messed up, I need to redo that." No, God is God. He's perfect. Everything he does is right. God's love is everlasting. Doesn't have to be revamped. God's long-suffering. That's evident. God's loyalty to His plan is enduring. God is changeless in His person, and God is changeless in His plans. I'm encouraged by that. I'm glad to know that when God saved me back there over 40 years ago, the Lord didn't give up on me at that point of time and say, "Now I've done my part, you do your part." No, it was God that put together the plan of salvation through the precious provision of His Son upon the cross, and God will not junk what His Son has done. He'll finish what He started. I am the Lord, and I change not. You say, how does that affect 2018? Well, stop and think about it for a moment. We can see a lot of changes that are taking place that will take place in 2018, but let's put our eyes not on the changes of things around us, but put our eyes on the changeless God that we serve. And that'll make our year a whole lot better. I'm the Lord, I change not. He's changeless in His person. He's changeless in His plans, and He's changeless in His promises. In His promises. Have any of you ever promised to do something that you didn't do? You know you have. I'm guilty. Sometimes we do not simply throw out a promise, you know, glibly, like, you know, I just like to make promises and not keep them. We have good intentions. I mean, sometimes, you know, we'll tell somebody we're going to do something, and we really do have good intentions of doing it. But something comes up. Or maybe we forget. So promises sometimes don't come to pass. But I'm glad that God is changeless in His promises. He does not renege on a promise. He's the same, you see. Every promise of... No, there's never been a promise of God that's ever lost its sweetness. If any promise of God ever lost its sweetness, it's not because God has changed or the promise doesn't still stand effect. It's because the problem is the fact that we've changed. Let me put it down to this level. Sometimes we Christians... we enjoy the promises of the Lord. We move along serving God and we're happy. We're joyful. Because we read in the Scriptures that God has promised He'll supply our needs. God has promised to take care of us. And it seems like there's times that we can rest more in the promises of God than other times. And when that happens, well, life goes a lot better for us. We can look sickness in the face a lot better. We can certainly deal with a death a lot better. We can deal with the seasons of life a lot better when we're really basking, fully believing the promises of God. But then sometimes we wake up, for whatever reason, we fail to trust God that day. We let something bother us. We get bent out of shape. We become discouraged. And we can become defeated. But now wait a minute. The promise remained the same from God's end. The problem was with us. The promise is still as sweet as it's ever been. If there's been a change, it's our fault. The promises of God are changeless. Changeless. I like that song we sing. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. The rock holds me, the rock holds me. I rest on the rock, and the rock holds me. I'm thankful to my Lord this morning that I don't have to depend upon my ability and my resources. I can simply fall on God. Because in and of myself, I'm going to botch up any good day. I'm going to turn any good day sour. And here's what I've learned. I don't care how long we're saved and serve God, we're still human first. And we're going to mess up. if we try to make it through a single day by our ability and by our resources. You know, I was reading an illustration this past week in preparing for this sermon today, and I ran across a thought that I had never really thought about a whole lot, but this really made sense to me. You know, we sing that song, and I love that old song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. You know the song, we sing it all the time. Standing on the Promises. Well, I read of an old black brother one time, dear old saint of God. Here's what he said. He said, I throw myself flat down on the promise. There I lie. You stand on the promise, you have a little to do with it. And down you go when the wind comes, and then you cry, oh, I'm down. Whereas I go flat on the promise at once, and that is why I fear no fall. You stop and think about that. Instead of standing on the promise, we need to fall down prostrate on the promise. Because when we're standing on the promise, that does imply a little bit of ability on our part. But what about when our knees get weak? What about when our strength gets feeble? What about the times in our lives where we lose our ingenuity or our inspiration, let's say, or our zeal? We can sing Standing on the Promise, but we find our knees shaking. But like that black brother said, he said, I don't stand on them. I just fall down on them. Because then I'm as low as I can get. Then I'm prostrate before God. Then I have nothing that I can do except to depend totally upon God. And that's where God wants us this morning. We're better not standing on anything ourselves. We're better falling down on the grace of God and letting the Lord take care of us totally. By the way, I haven't got rid of this. I have not turned totally away from this verse yet. Look what it says here. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now think about that for a minute. Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We understand this is an Old Testament passage. We understand here that the primary thought there is the Jewish person. We understand there that the primary thought there is the patriarchs, just like Jacob. Who is Jacob? Well, think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so forth. All right, we're talking about saints of God. We're talking about the patriarchs. God is basically saying, I'm going to take care of my covenant people. I'm going to take care of the redeemed of Israel. But do you think the application stops there? Not at all. I tell you what, you can read that verse there. I change not, therefore ye sons of God are not consumed. I believe you could say that and wouldn't rest the Scriptures. Ye sons of God are not consumed. Here's what I see in that precious passage of Scripture. I see that God is an unchanging God, unchanging in His person, unchanging in His plans, unchanging in His promise. And I can see how God is going to take care of His people, His child. He's not going to consume Jacob. But I'll tell you, my friend, He's not going to consume any child of God. In other words, it's like this. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There is nothing that man can ever do, or the enemies of man can ever do, to cause me to be less a child of God. Redeemed, and forever I am. You know, okay, it works this way. As a Christian, we can get out of fellowship with God if we're not careful. We quit reading the Bible. We keep praying, or quit praying. We quit doing those things. Our spiritual lives are going to suffer. We're going to hurt. We're going to get messed up. Could doubt our salvation. Could get discouraged. Could be overwhelmed with some kind of an issue. But what are we losing? we're losing the joy of our salvation, but we're not losing our salvation. We're losing the joy of it. Why? Because God does not consume the sons of Jacob. You and I are wrath-free. You and I are fireproof. You and I will never have to face God at the great white throne judgment, Christians I'm talking about. God is unchanging in His promise. He's unchanging. John Newton, who wrote that great song, Amazing Grace, said this. He said, "The Lord must have loved me before the foundation of the world." He says, "Or else he sure couldn't have loved me afterwards, as sorry as I've been." He said, "If God's love for me was based upon my afterwards, then I'd be in a world of hurt." But John Newton was just making a point. We know that God's love would be continue, of course. But he's simply saying, he must have loved me before the foundation of the world, because when I got saved, what he's got with me afterwards hasn't been too pleasing. And I like that thought, don't you? But I tell you, the love of God stays the same. God is an unchanging God in His person, His plans, His promises. And then finally, this morning, He's unchanging in His pronouncements. In His pronouncements. Here it is. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." God's pronouncements are not altered. If you're in the category of an unsaved person, God's pronouncements are the same. He's warning you of judgment to come. What He says, He will do. Your only hope today is in Jesus Christ. You are declared a sinner, and God pronounces you a sinner, and God pronounces judgment. Condemned. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." God's pronouncements are unchangeable. The only way that condemned can become justified is when you turn to Christ. Otherwise, God's pronouncements are the same. Now, I'm closing with this thought this morning. So what's the application when we enter 2018? You say, "Preacher, pull it all together, would you please? What's the application that I can make today?" Well, as we enter 2018, totally trusting self will not give us a good year. Totally trusting ability will not give us a good year. Totally trusting our provisions will not give us a good year. Totally trusting each other will not give us a good year. Totally trusting this church will not give us a good year. Totally trusting this preacher will not give us a good year. Because, and you know the reason, people change. Man at his best is still man. And we're going to disappoint. We're going to disappoint. But totally trust the God who changes not, and you'll have a good year. Can I give you a verse that I hope you'll have it memorized, and I'll give you a test next Sunday, and you'll be able to quote it? Here it is. Are you ready? This is one time I'm asking this church to do an exercise. Not just hear a sermon, but you need to write this verse down that I'm about to give you. Could I see pencils, please? Would you please write this down? I want to help you. I want to help you. Remember now our verse today. "I am the Lord. I change not." I'm saying, don't trust in your ability. Don't trust in people. Don't trust in your church. Don't trust in your preacher. Totally. Don't trust in material things. Don't trust in effort. Don't trust in strength. Here it is, Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Tell me if that isn't a good verse for 2018. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. As we journey into 2018, let's go into the new year trusting the Lord. Not our ability, not our resources, not what we have materially, not even each other, though we can to a degree. Let's trust the God who is unchanging. Let's not trust things that are changing. Let's trust the God who is unchanging. Shall we pray? Heads are bowed and